إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن ولا وبعد. My brothers and sisters, we were talking about the issue of Iman Bil-Ghayb and the fact that this Iman Bil-Ghayb is the first condition of Iman itself, first condition of being a Muttaqi, of having taqwa is to have Iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Al-Ghayb. And as I mentioned yesterday, Al-Ghayb means something that is unperceivable, not just unperceived or unseen, but unperceivable. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you might say, well, if something is unperceivable, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention it at all? What is the need to even mention something which is not possible to perceive? Now this is one of the, this is one of the tests of ubudiyat, the tests of being an abd, the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are certain things, the Quran, for example, again and again, invites us to reflect, to think, and so on and so forth, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there are signs for people, yatafakkarun, people who make fikr, who reflect, who think, and so on and so forth. Wal ulil albab, Allah mentioned in Surah Al Imran, people of intelligence. So there is this theme of saying, think about life, think about things, about the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and so on. But at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also, with respect to the ghaib, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deliberately kept some things in terms of knowledge with himself. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this and said very clearly that we have given from our knowledge but a little. We have given you from our knowledge but a little. So that is one. Second thing is, for example, in my reading and understanding the Quran, one of the ayat which is an ayat from Surah Al-Isra, Surah Bani Israel, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way Allah dealt with this question shows very clearly the intention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this particular ayat, the people came and asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the nature of the soul. They said, what is the soul? Because we see the body. Those of us who have bathed somebody who passed away, you will testify to the fact that when you are bathing a person, nothing has changed. It is the same person who was standing vertical one day and next day is horizontal and that's it. But it's the same person, there's no change in the shape of the person or no change. It looks like a person is fast asleep, that's it, right? Looks like he's sleeping. But you know that he's dead. So what is this thing that came out of this person which converted a living person into a corpse? So people asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they said, please, what is the nature of the soul? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayah, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ. They ask you about the nature of the ruh. قُلْ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. Say, the ruh is an amr of Allah. It's an order of Allah. وَمَا أُوتِيتُهُ مِنْ عِلْمٍ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. And we have not given you from our knowledge except for a little bit. Now, point is, they're asking what is the ruh. Allah is saying the ruh is my order. So what did we understand about this? What did we understand? Nothing. Ruh is Allah ka hukum hai. So, hukum means what? So obviously, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying some things you need to know which have been mentioned to you clearly. Stick with that, operate on that, work on that. There are other things which we have mentioned, they are there. But what is the exact nature of that and so on and so forth, it is not necessary for you to know in this life. So we have not told you. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. In a couple of places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made istiwa on his arsh. What is the meaning of istiwa? What is the meaning of istiwa? Allah is on his arsh means what? On meaning standing, sitting, lying down. Oh, what does it mean? Yeah. We don't use these terms for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I'm just saying, on his arsh, ishtawa ala arsh means what? Number one. Number two, Allah mentioned the arsh, he mentioned the kursi. Right? Ayatul kursi. So what is the arsh and what is the kursi? Is it a, like what we know in our culture, we say takhat, you know, the it's like a platform, like a low table. So is this a low table? And the kursi is, of course, the meaning of kursi in Arabic, Urdu and so on is the same, which means chair. So is this chair, is it on top of this table? Or is it the arsh is really in the meaning of a throne, and therefore it is a throne, and the kursi is like a footstool in front of the throne? Which one is it? Or is it some third thing which we have not imagined? Right? Now, think about this. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to explain all of this, He would have explained it. I mean, Allah, as I always say, the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not thinking about sending it to a publisher who had a word count, right? So it's the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran could have been 50,000 volumes. Who was there to stop Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So if Allah did not explain something, what does it mean? It means that, it doesn't mean it is unimportant. It means that it is not necessary for you to know this. Now the reason I'm saying this is because this is one of the ways in which shaitan misguides. Which is that he takes your and my attention from the things which are important, which are perfectly clear. For example, five times salah a day is perfectly clear. There's no doubt about this. There's no, you know, two opinions about this. The fact that you must not make shirk is perfectly clear. The fact that you should follow the sunnah of Rasulullah is perfectly clear. The fact that some foods are haram and others are halal is perfectly clear. The fact that you must not deal with interest is perfectly clear. The fact that you must not lie and cheat and slander and backbite and deceive and so on and so forth. All of this is perfectly clear. There's no doubt about any of this, right? I mean, there's no two opinions and one imam is saying, yes, you can lie, and another one is saying you should not lie. It's not like this. It's perfectly, absolutely clear. But shaitan, what shaitan does is he takes you away from this. Then shaitan says, now he puts you into this thing of saying, what is the nature of the whore? Allah did not even tell you about the nature of the ruh. You want to know about the nature of the whore. What is this whore? Yesterday somebody sent me one long tamasha about this whole thing. Of this, the actual word and the root word of that word and this and this and this. And is it a man? Is it a woman? Is it what about what for men? What for women? You know, what is the nature of the companionship? What will we do? What will they do? And they're asking for my opinion. So I said, my opinion is, focus on first of all getting into Jannah. Then all of this rest will become clear, right? If you didn't get into Jannah at all, how does it matter? Whatever it is, makes no difference because you are not getting it, whichever it is, right? Maybe it's a bar of chocolate, who knows? But the point is, you are not going to eat it. So the whole issue is, try to get into the Jannah first, then we'll worry about all this. Now the reason I'm saying is the amount of time and energy that goes in complete total waste. Because at the end of the day, there is no way on earth that you and I are going to get any actual clarity on this, because there is only one who can tell us. And he stopped talking. As simple as that, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stopped talking to us when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left his world. Khalas. So who is going to clarify this for us? The Nabi is not there. You can't go and ask the Nabi, please ask Allah. You can't ask Allah because Allah is not going to tell you. So what? So what is the point of this whole discussion? Except for the best that can happen is a complete waste of time. The worst that can happen is it can lead you into all kinds of needless, you know, mental gymnastics from shaitan and take you God knows where in terms of our own iman and yaqeen and so on and so forth. Because this is what shaitan does. What shaitan does is he puts you into these things and then he leads you to a position where you are saying, look, all of this religion is illogical. It's crazy, I can't understand it, so forget it. That is where he's taking you. He's taking you into kufr, where you will completely wash your hands of religion completely because according to you, I can't understand this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran about two kinds of ayat, muhkamat and mutashabihat. And I'm reading from Tafsir ibn Kathir. Allama ibn Kathir rahmatullahi alayhi says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states that in the Quran there are ayat that are muhkamat, which are entirely clear and plain, and these are the foundations of the book, which are plain for everyone.
And there are ayat in the Quran which are mutashabihat, which are not entirely clear for many or for some people. So those who prefer the muhkam ayat to understand the mutashabihat ayat will have acquired the correct guidance, and vice versa. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Hunna ummul kitab. These are the foundations of the book, meaning that they are the basis of the Quran and should be referred to for clarification when warranted. وَأُخَرُوا مُتَشَابِهَاتِ. And others are not clear. Allah is saying this Himself, Jalla Jalaluhu. As they have several meanings, some that agree with the muhkam and some that carry other literal indications, although these meanings might not be clear or might not be desired. The muhkamat are the ayat that explain the rulings, the allowed, the prohibited, the limits, the obligations, and the rulings that should be believed and implemented. As for the mutashabihat, the ayat include abrogated ayat, parables, oaths that should be believed in but not implemented. Muhammad bin Ishaq bin Yasir commented minhu on this ayah of minhu ayatum muhkamatun. In this are ayat that are entirely clear as containing proof of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immunity for the slaves and a refutation of opponents and of falsehood, and these cannot be changed or altered from what they were meant for. He also said, as for the unclear ayat, they can but must not be altered and changed, and this is the test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the servants, as He tested them with the allowed and prohibited things, so that these ayat must not be altered to imply a false meaning. What he means is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made certain food items, for example, to illustrate this, Allah made certain foods haram. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Lahmul khinzir, the meat of pigs is haram. Now, question is, why did Allah create a pig at all in the first place? Somebody can ask this question logically. I mean, why do you make something, then you say it is haram? Why did you make the fermentation process which converts sugars into alcohol so people can actually make wine? Now, if it is haram, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should have made wine impossible to make. Khalas, then no problem, itself is not there. What is haram does not exist. So why? Now the question is, this why, asking this why, is the first seed of rebellion. And that is why it is bad, because from this arises all kinds of other things. Why this? Why? You are questioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah does what He does because of His own hikmah, because of what? Because He is Al-Khaliq. He is the one who creates. He does what He does. He knows why He does it. Our job as slaves is what? Is ubudiyat. Is to say, I obey. Sami'na wa ata'na. Ya Allah, You gave me an instruction, I will follow it. Khalas. Whether I understand it, don't understand it, doesn't matter. Even if I don't understand it, I trust You, therefore I follow this. This is our position. And that is what he's saying, that these are things which, mutashabihat are things which are doubtful. If you fall into that, you are going to go astray all over the place. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala therefore said, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ. So as for those in whose hearts there is a deviation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, those who go behind these mutashabihat are actually people whose hearts are sick. There is a sickness in their heart of deviation, meaning that those who are misguided and deviate from truth to falsehood, they follow that which is not entirely clear, meaning the mutashabihat. So something is not clear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ruh. Now you try to go into the root. What actually is the root? Who will tell you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not tell you. So who is going to tell you? Similarly, this whole nonsensical discussion about hoor and what not, right? So the whole point is that why do we go into things it is impossible to find clarity. And he says that Ibn Kathir rahmatullahi says, and they refer to mutashabih because they are able to alter its meaning to confirm to their false interpretation, since the wordings of the mutashabihat encompass such a wide area of meanings. Now, the point is what he is saying here is that people go into this mutashabihat because they think that they can. Now, they have something in their mind and they want to interpret it, and therefore they find an ayat which is not clear, and then they interpret the ayat and say, therefore this means this. Right? Now, I remind myself and you, let us not fall into these traps. Let us not, even if somebody sends all these things on WhatsApp and you know, all of these platforms, best thing you can do is simply delete it. Don't even read it, because even reading it is a waste of time. And also, shaitan is there with all of us. You don't know if you read it, what other stuff will come into your mind and you leads you all over the place. Don't do that. Forget about it. Remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about the Jannah very clearly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, تَتَجَافَ جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِ يَدُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَتَمْعًا وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَّا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ عَيُنْ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Sajda, those who get up from their sites in the night, in the middle of the night, who get up from their sites and stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, بَيْنَ الْخَوْفِ وَتَمْعَ, between fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment and hope for His mercy and His forgiveness, when they stand, their mental state, their state of their hearts is there. When they are standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that state and they spend from what we have given them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if they know what I have kept hidden for them, if they know, أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ, I have kept it hidden from them, but I have kept it, if they know the reward that I will give for this. Yeah, this is reference to the Tahajjud Salah. For this reward which I will give them, if they knew this, it would be the قُرَّةُ عَيُنْ. It will be the coolness of their eyes. They will be so happy, so delighted. Now if you look at this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not described what He kept hidden. Allah says, I have kept it hidden. Allah Himself said, أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ, I have kept it hidden from them. Now, why must you go into something which is hidden from you? And if it is hidden from you, how on earth is it ever going to be clarified? So, if somebody says, no, you see, we are not wasting time, we are all sincere ulama. Yeah, first of all, you are johala, you are not ulama if you are doing this. So, the whole point is that you know, we are very sincere, we are trying to get to the root. How can you get to the root of something? How can you analyze without data? Please tell me, is it possible? You are trying to analyze without data. How will you do that? The first requirement of any analysis is good data. Not even just data, because garbage in, garbage out. Gigo principle, garbage in, garbage out. You have bad data, you get bad results. So the point is, you must have good data. In this case, there is no good data. There is no data at all, neither good nor bad, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose not to tell us. And this is His prerogative and His right. So don't fall into, as far as the ghaib is concerned, our aqeedah and our principle is, we believe it is there, we believe what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, without trying to dig into that to say, kaif, how is it? Bila kaif, we believe, bila kaif, without kaif, without how. Allah said, arsh, alhamdulillah. Somebody says, what is the arsh look like? One day you will see, one day I will see, until then, relax. Allah said kursi. What is the nature of the kursi? One day you will see, one day I will see, inshallah. Until then, relax. Allah said istawa ala larsh. What does it mean? We will know one day. Until then, relax. Don't talk about it. Don't put your mind into that. Don't have needless and stupid discussions. It is not going to get us anywhere. So also for all the things of the ghaib, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described, we believe it is there. How? What do we know about it? We know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us. We know what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us. Beyond that, we will not question, we will not dig, we will not try to, you know, become great spies to, and then call it logic and call it analysis. That is not logic, that is not analysis, that is complete and total nonsense, which has the potential to lead us into kufr, into completely washing our hands of iman itself. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from this, where shaitan tries to fool us in the name of intelligence. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from this and keep us on the straight path, which leads to Jannah, insha'Allah al-musta'an. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.